On today's Domain Sherpa, Media Options Senior Broker Chris Zeiker joins us. He shares seven dimensions of how domains impact brands, and he gets worried that he's sharing too much of his secret sauce. Stay tuned. First, serious about online trading? Secure your funds, keep your merchandise safe, and use a company that keeps the buyer and seller protected the whole way through. That's escrow.com. Payments you can trust. Finally, if you're a domain name investor, don't you have unique legal needs that require domain name technical know-how and industry experience? That's why you need Stephen Lieberman of Greenberg & Lieberman or Jason Schaefer of Esquire.com. Go search for Jason Schaefer or Stephen Lieberman on Domain Sherpa. Watch their interviews, and you can see for yourself that they can clearly explain issues, can help you with buy-sell agreements, deal with website content issues and UDRP actions, and even help you write your website terms and conditions. Stephen Lieberman and Jason Schaefer are the lawyers to call for internet legal issues. See for yourself at Esquire.com or aplegal.com. Hey, Sherpa Network. Chris Zeiker and I are excited to be here today to talk with you about the seven dimensions of how domains impact brands. Chris, you have been such a prolific writer for the Media Options blog, and you've said that that's your learning style. You've certainly created a learning opportunity for everyone in the domain industry. Tell me more about how you've come to have your perspective and put them into these, you know, really thorough blogs, great for corporations.
Awesome. Hey, thanks, Tess. You know, it's interesting. I love that intro, by the way, because that's really where I came in at, right? I mean, I never 3 years ago, you couldn't have told me like, hey, like you're gonna be selling domain names, because like 3 or 4 years ago, I think it's like 3.5 years ago now. Like I didn't own a domain name. I had no idea there was a market for domain names, or the impact of domain names. So I was probably like your typical executive that you're reaching out to, right, on a domain name. And so
that's the key, Chris. That, I mean, you are just golden. because of that, you understand corporate America, you understand what they want, you understand. Did anybody ever talk to you about domains and you think that was dumb or didn't make sense?
You know, they talked to me about marketing. Okay, so just a recap. I managed accounts calling on Walmart, Target, Sam's Club for 15 years, maybe 16 years. And I actually worked at Walmart corporate headquarters. And so I managed like very large accounts. So accounts doing $100 million in revenue. Okay, that was the largest one. Obviously scaling over the years, but a lot of money, right? So I had access and I had responsibility for big budgets, including marketing budgets directly related to my account. And so, no, they didn't come with domains, but I remember like the social aspect of marketing, like we were still stuck back. And I think still a lot of companies are still stuck back in the old way of marketing. They don't truly understand the new way of online and digital marketing. So I think when my experience of the community down here of Walmart suppliers is that a lot of them still don't understand. I think we're still at the cusp of online marketing, still understanding this. And so it's interesting when I.
Oh, I just wanted to say for our viewers, you live more or less at Walmart's international headquarters.
Yes. And in Bentonville, Arkansas.
Yeah, Bentonville, Arkansas. And people think like Arkansas, that's podunk.
Yeah.
And I mean, I remember visiting a few times. And I was so impressed. I remember, do you remember this? That we went to a party with, and that's the, you know, a reception or something with all master's business students at the university. I mean, that's right. Just not the first thing a lot of people think of when they think of Arkansas.
Right,
and
right.
I was so impressed by how educated, corporate, brilliant all these people were. I mean, yeah. Because Walmart is there, then all these other enormous...
Right. Every supplier manufacturer has an office down here in Bentonville, Arkansas. And I think, I mean, I must have been in the MBA program back then, because I went to the MBA at U of A, Sam Walton School of Business, right? Walmart. But anyway, so I had that experience. Yeah. So I had that experience, right? That experience of of corporate America coming to domain names. So fast forward, right? So 3.5 years working with domain names. And I use the blog really as a way it's perfect, like research and come to this understanding of domain names. Like how do we educate the community on domain names, but at the same time help to sell more domain names, right? That's one of the reasons why I write them, because when you can bring education back to the investment, back to like domain strategies, you can help to sell it. Okay, that's a very crude way, but here's what happens. Okay, so in sales, 98%, maybe 99% in domain names, of the people you contact have a different worldview, and that worldview does not allow them to buy domains because they're not in tune with domain names. Okay, and so what you have to do.
Marketing companies.
Well, okay, I mean.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, a good point. So, I mean, there are people, like when I say 98%, right, I'm talking about the broader market of businesses, okay?
Okay.
Now, we narrow down the people that communicate with us and buy us, that's obviously a different segment of that. Okay. What I'm saying is that when you do outbound outreach, so I'm on like my 60,000th contact point for domain names.
60,000 okay. people you've contacted.
I've talked to a lot of people. Yeah. A lot of owners. I've been told no a lot of times. I've been cussed at a lot of times, okay? I've had it happen. So here's the key, is that their worldview doesn't allow them to see. So that's what my blogs are there to do, is there to show them and have them consider the possibility their worldview is not going to get them where they need to be in this new economy, right? The digital economy, the digital from a digital strategic standpoint. Breaking their frames, breaking their worldview. So that's where we came up with, and that's the title of today's talk, right? The 7 dimensions to a domain. Like, what are the 7 ways that a domain name impacts a brand? That impacts a company, impacts the digital marketing strategy.
Yeah, it's a great, great question. And you know, in a way, I feel like domains are assets, a lot like art or jewels. That they grow in value. It's easy to, you know, avoid some tax circumstances. You know, they're pretty liquid. And so I just like the little visual here. When you say the 7 dimensions, I see a diamond or a ruby. Like these like are it. Sparkling, valuable assets. And there are many facets, many dimensions. And I really appreciate, Chris, how you bullet point it out and make it so, oh, no pun intended, crystal clear. So let's go. 7 dimensions of how domains impact brands. Global positioning, you said, is number one. Oh, so, I don't want to steal the thunder. Maybe you want to say it.
It's kind of from start from macro to micro, right? So why don't we recap and first test, then we can kind of hit each one of these. And I had a point I was going
to
make.
Wait, why'd you do macro to micro?
Well, I mean, it's not a macro, Michael, but I mean, there is. Let's just go through them and you'll see, right?
So, okay. First, well, I see you as capturing a sales funnel, macro to micro. Yeah. You know, Chris, I'm really blown away with how you think. Okay, so we'll hammer them out and then go into the details. Numero uno.
Okay, so the first one is global. Okay, I'm gonna go through all 7. Now, you know what? We won't go through all 7. That way they have to listen to this whole video, okay?
No, you do it however you want.
No. Wait. Let's listen to the first one. So the first one is this, global positioning. And it's interesting. So the more companies that we reach out to, the more companies I talk to, the more I truly believe that global positioning is one of the most overlooked aspects of domain names and branding. And here's why I say this, is that only one company can own the global positioning for any keyword, right? In the .com. So purple.com, I think the first when we started talking about this call, it was like purple.com, right? Hey, let's have a talk on purple.com. I was like, I don't know if I can talk at 30 minutes. We probably could, but let's expand that out. So purple.com, there was Purple Bricks. They've raised like $300 million, right? There's Purple Mattress. They've obviously raised quite a bit of money. They bought purple.com. But now they own the global position for Purple. And where this is important is that is when the messaging starts to take effect, they'll always hold a piece of the mind frame of anyone who does marketing around Purple now. So Purple Bricks, they'll do their marketing and great. They're going to hit their consumers where they need them for real estate. But guess what? Like, if someone has seen the commercial for Purple, they're going to think, like, okay, well, and they're going to hear that and think Purple Banters, right? There's this halo effect of natural. And it's because of how they own that. So another example is Kraken.
Okay, so wait. So Purple, you're saying, right, there are a bunch of brands that have Purple in them somewhere. Yes. PurpleBricks.com is this real estate, a startup that...
No, it's pretty established. They've raised like over $300 million. It's primarily the UK. They're coming to the United States.
Yeah. Well, I know they, in March 26th of this year, they secured $177 million investment. And that is basically what they're using to start in New York.
Yeah. It's another $100 million. So it's $100 million between friends, right? Yeah. That's
$177 million. If that 77 doesn't matter to you, I'll take it.
round up, round down.
I prefer rounding up when I'm
receiving. Okay. Oh, yeah. You know what? I think I do too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they've raised the money, Tesh, right? So, I'm sure like what you hear this, well, hey, we're Purple Bricks. Listen, I got it. But here's the thing. You just open the door to make your brand irrelevant because the messaging now of Purple is going to be dominated by Purple Mattress. And so how many, like when you think about how our brains work, and there's a study done by Reese. It was a positioning study. It was Reese.com, a positioning study done in the 70s. And talks about how when you ask someone, hey, name the top five brands in any industry, right? We rank them on how they impact us. Okay. So if you're someone who's cheap, if you're someone who's affordable, right? I mean, done affordable. If someone who's luxury, it's going to be done luxury. You rank them. We rank brands, right? So that's one thing. There's ranking brands. There's a study done by Segal and Gale that talks about simplicity and how we leave a lot of money on the table because we make things complicated and more simple. So there's all these studies that are done that show the impact of branding. Now they own that. Now I want to just switch gears here to Kraken because I think Kraken, you can put a little, some numbers behind it. So Kraken, I talk about this in several of my LinkedIn videos, LinkedIn posts and Facebook. And I think we have it on our website.
Yeah. Kraken, on the Media Options website. Yes.
Yeah. Media Options. Yeah. So Kraken Exchange and Kraken Rum. So Kraken Rum came out, I think a year or 2 years before Kraken Exchange. They went out with KrakenRum.com. Most likely because they said, hey, we don't need Kraken, right? What they did is they opened up the door for another brand to come in with Kraken Exchange. Now, this is the global positioning, right? So they spent $13 million in advertising the first year. And if I got that number wrong, the rum people. Yeah. So if I got that wrong, correct it in the link down in the comments below. Okay. But they spent a lot of money advertising the first year or 2 years, right? I had this on our blog.
$13 million is a lot of money.
They had a massive head start to their brand. Okay. Yeah. And that's not including the amount of money they spent over the years marketing that. But because they didn't acquire Kraken.com, another brand came in, Kraken Exchanges. Now back then, I'm sure they're thinking, I mean, crypto, come on, like that's not never going to be a thing. Don't even worry about it. Right. Boom. Last year hits, you know, it takes off. Now, if you look up Kraken, they dominate the positioning and search for Kraken. Okay, they dominate that positioning. So that's what I mean by global positioning. When you have that, when you don't own the .com, when the .com is available and you don't buy that, you're leaving that open for another brand to come in and make your marketing irrelevant. Even with that head start that they had and the investments that they had, when you look up Kraken, Kraken Exchange dominates. So you're looking up Kraken Rum, you're thinking, okay, look up Kraken, right? It's rum. I mean, that goes by default. Boom. Now you're seeing Kraken crypto exchange, right? So that's what I mean by saying when you don't own the global positioning and it's available, another brand with financing, with advertising that gets it is going to come in.
What are you saying?
Another brand that has financing that can come in and gets it. Listen, they're going to come in and they're going to potentially make your brand irrelevant.
Yeah.
Nitro.com is another.
So if you're going to try, what if you're going to try to go global, or even if you're not, if you're looking, you know, like Kraken and Purple, they seem kind of like different and like not tons of people took them. So that makes them a good target, but then that's what everybody's looking for. So it kind of backfires and then they don't invest in marketing. So, or they do invest in marketing, but not in the domain aspect of it. Even if you have a trademark, if you don't own Kraken.com or Purple.com and someone else does, they're going to bulldoze you.
There's 45 different primary classes for a trademark. 45. So I've got a trademark. Like, I mean, you, like, there's many different, like, yes, they have Kraken rum. Okay. Yes. Kraken Exchange is not going to use it for Kraken rum, but they own Kraken. And, and what it is, it's the voice and the communication for all things Kraken, the voice and communication for all things purple.
Well, and when you say voice and communication, what I see in my head is page one, page two, page three of Google.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because even if you're, you know, say something on, if I search Kraken, something on Kraken.com is going to come up for second, third, fourth,
exactly.
Right?
We're purple now, right?
Then what's going to come up after that are people talking about Kraken.com, links to Kraken.com, and then Kraken Rum is like,
Right? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Or, you know, Google will, you know, you type in purple and Google automatically, boom, you know, puts it in, right? So, it's this thought that, and you don't own your domain, you very easily are going to, your brand, there's a huge, massive risk to your brand, massive risk to your investment. Now, could Purple Bricks have bought Purple? Probably wouldn't even have seen the purchase. Yeah, they probably could have. They probably could have acquired that much better, much easier, right? Could Kraken Rum, I forget who owns that, could they have acquired Kraken? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they'd own it. And they would keep another brand from coming out with the positioning for Kraken, right? So it's like a hedge, right? You're keeping let's say you don't even use it. You're still keeping another brand from being formed and from the dominant market position. Now this can go positive, negative, right? If there's a fraud case around that, boom, now they've sold possibly your brand. So global positioning is a big first dimension to why domain names are important.
Okay, hang on. I just heard fraud, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, gee, Kraken Exchange, that's money, basically a financial institution. And Purple Brick, they're real estate, and I know what kind of documents I share with my real estate agent.
Right.
Right? I mean, highly sensitive documents. And so all of a sudden I'm thinking, even if you're not worried about another brand coming in there, there's also a lot of security concerns. Even if an investor owns purple.com and they don't, but whatever your brand is, and they don't have it, you know, really secured or set, it's easy to spoof something like that.
That's and scary. I would say it's here the other way around, right? So I mean, when you look at some of these domains that are complicated, listen, like you switch one letter around, and all of a sudden, you know, we can hit that when we talk like domain strategies. But brand global positioning is very important. Where I was going is that let's say that the person like Purple, there's, you know, it, or one of these brands, if there was ever something that was bad that created ill will in the market for that keyword. Well, then that has a halo effect also on the way down, right? So there's the halo effect up from them. There's also halo effect down from them. How goes that? So I would just say this. I think that global positioning is the most underlooked reason why brands need to own their keyword domain name, own the positioning. And I would say that when Kraken Rum's instance, how many millions have they spent? We know 13 million plus subsequent like investments.
Yeah.
What could they've had the domain for back then? I mean, probably like low six figures, maybe five, like, you know, who knows, right? It's 13.
I mean, it's, let me just spell it out for anybody listening on the podcast. It's Kraken. Like, that couldn't have been that hard to acquire with a how many million dollar budget? No, you know?
Yeah. So they could have owned it and they didn't. So, and now look at their marketing, right? So that buildup that they've had for their marketing now is this halo effect of Kraken. They've lost social positioning. Gosh.
Yeah.
It
could be the other way too. You know, Kraken Rum, like rum is all about drinking, partying, having fun. I'm envisioning people on a boat or on a beach, right? And if it were the other way, if you've got, you know, something that you want to be a serious financial institution, and all of a sudden some rum company comes along, takes yours, then you look, you know, that's what you're talking about, the reverse halo.
Okay.
Right?
Here's another example. I just saw this example today, and it was Casey, the guy I follow on LinkedIn. His name is Casey. Casey, I'm so sorry. I can't remember your last name. I'm going to put it in the links below, okay?
Did you just say Casey Kasem?
No, Casey. It's Casey. I forget Casey's last name, but I follow him on LinkedIn. Anyways, he brought up Clio, Clio.com. and meetcleo.com. Okay, there's a company out there, an AI company that does AI for your bank accounts, and they came up with MeetCleo. Awesome idea. But then Cleo.com is this other entity that's highly branded Cleo for domain documentation and whatever. On first view, they don't look like they're connected at all. Okay. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they are. I don't believe they're connected, but that's another great example of like, there's the position is taken. They're trying to come with something else. All they're gonna do is create confusion for the other brand. The other brand's so strong.
Oh, it's kind of the same thing-ish. It's like cloud applications, big data, business intelligence. And even though I think maybe to someone like in our audience that we can see the difference between those two things, and clearly you can get different trademarks for those two things, to your average like business person might just think they're at the other place, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's confusing.
AI, like, it's cloud, yeah. It's other people doing things for you, being efficient, and they just move on. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's confusing. Okay, that's just one. How long have we gone for, Tess?
Let me see. Okay, we're 19 minutes in.
Oh, okay.
Your enthusiasm.
Well, we'll have to do a second edition now, because now we can only get through like two, right? What is it, a 30-minute?
No, we'll go until we're done. I don't know. We'll figure
like
it out.
2 hours.
No.
Yeah, I can talk forever.
I bet. Yeah. We had a long intro. So number two, got number one, global positioning. Number two.
Global positioning, very important. Now, number two is industry positioning. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what is the industry positioning for your brand? And I got to look here on the, give me 1 second here.
Okay. While you look, I'll just say, so global positioning is basically against anybody anywhere in the world. Industry positioning is, you know, mattress firm against mattress firm, more or less, you know, AI to AI.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
God, I don't
ready?
Know why I can't. Come on. You got to be kidding me.
No.
I'm trying to look up, because I have an example here of the payment space, and I can't find that email, so just bear with
me. Is it Send Inc?
No, I just had an example of all the domains in this space.
Okay.
And give me just two more seconds. Sorry, viewers, for this delay.
Now, you're really, really impressive at researching, because the delay of you looking it up is nothing compared to the delay of other people never finding it. You know?
Okay. So I remember what I did. I did a podcast on this, is what I did.
Okay.
So, but I found it. So industry, yeah, to your point, Tris, industry positionings, how does your brand relate to your competitors? So when someone, like, so often in our minds, we think we operate in a vacuum, but we don't. Like today, nothing happens in a vacuum, and how your customers find you and how they research you is done through Google, right? And so, or like a search engine sometimes, right? There's a percentage that'll type it in that may see your ads, but there's also a search engine, right? Like, let's say they even come through an ad, they may go back and, you know, pull back and look at the general brands. And so you are dependent upon like the page in Google, right? Could be 10 or 14, right? Do I have that right? Or 18, whatever. How many ads there are, how many organics there are. You're not seen in a vacuum. And so one of the things that most companies, people look at is they scroll down, they look at your domain name, because let's say you're looking up retirement plan or ERP software or any of these domain names. Guess what? It's all the descriptions are the same, practically. Like seriously, right? Go look up stock photos, like they're all the same.
And it's funny, you're right.
You know? So the only differentiation is your domain name. And it's like, hey, do I trust this domain? Do I trust the link? Do I trust the string, right, of this location? So industry position is very important. How you're viewed, we call it pre-positioning, pre-framing, okay? There's a book that I like here, Pitch Anything, okay? It's pre-framing. You're pre-framing your brand. It's very important. How you come across, how you communicate, how you pre-frame is done with your domain name right there. And so here's an example. So with the payment space, there is, I'm just going to read some brands to you, right? And how do these brands, you know, we're brokering a domain name, retirementplan.com. You can see some of these brands, right? For Finance, Access Pay, Aiden, ADYEN, AirWallex, Behalf, Bill Trust, BitPesa, BlackRock, Braintree Payments, BuzzTime, CardFlight, Clearent, CloudPay, Coinify, Coins, Credit Shop, Currency Cloud, Currency Fair, Dream Payments, Ethoca, Exactuals, EasyBob, EasyTab, Flint, Flight, F-L-Y-T, Flywire, GoCarless. But, okay, you get the point, okay. Right?
That's all like, I'm thinking is, dear God, our transcription service is going to take an extra week to get this done, because how do you spell any of those? And to
boom,
our viewers, like, if we were on a, like, I was listening to the radio this morning with my boys, and they were, like, doing their Friday morning contest, right? And, like, I'm like, I could have a Friday morning contest right now. Who can remember one of those brands that you just said?
Yeah.
I remember the bad spelling one. Was it F-L-Y-T or something?
F-L-Y-T. Bloom is another one. B-L-O-O-M with three O's. But like, here's the thing, though, right?
And that's a retirement plan. Like, yeah, B-L-O-O-M.
Well, no, I don't know if that, I reached out for that one. No, I'm sorry. This was a different domain at Word Brokering.
Okay, either way, need a new domain.
But yeah, like, exactly. Like, it's industry positioning. Like, how people come, like consumer intent, when they come and they, I mean, we make unconscious decisions all day long, right? It's 4 to 5 seconds, I think, is what they say. The unconscious decision is, it's in a millisecond when we hit a domain name. There's a book that I read. It is Persuasion by Cialdini.
Yeah.
And yeah, we make it in a nanosecond.
Yeah.
And so your domain name, like you're judging these brands. You're, when they come, like, do they match my consent? Okay, does it look like it's something I would trust with my finances, right? Even if you click on it, there's that hesitation because of your brand, right? Especially when you add...
Oh, and even if it's not your retirement plan, I'm trusting them with my finances. If I'm buying something from them, I'm giving them my credit card. Guess what? B-L-O-O-O-M. You're not getting my credit card because I don't know what you're going to do.
It's a big company. I mean, they have raised a lot of money. Okay, the domain name, I think what I was broken was PMT.com, short for payment.com.
Oh, I like that.
It was in the last month's news.
So what you're saying is, I'm hearing some vocabulary here that I think everyone who wants to sell a domain or explain the value of domain needs to know. You've said pre-framing, persuasion, and there was another one like pre-framing, pre...
I don't know.
Well, whatever.
We should charge for this video. Honestly, I think this video we should charge for, because this is like my secret sauce here, okay, guys? Like how we've sold a lot of domain names. And my view coming in from the outsider coming in, not knowing much and having to kind of reinvent this and coming up with these.
Yeah. Well, you got more secret sauce than just what you know. What I see in this video, Chris, is your energy, your enthusiasm, that's contagious. And also your confidence. I see you just grabbing a book right there. Like you didn't plan that. I know you've got 10 books right there. Boom, 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 that are the best business books. You know, like you're always really well informed. And I think it's difficult for someone in a corporate position who doesn't own a great domain to talk with you and not walk away saying, wow, I want some of that guy's knowledge.
That's too nice. But I think, I mean, like what we have to do in domain world, we have to take these best practices from these marketing books, these books, we have to apply them to domains and how we sell them and how we communicate them, right? Because the days of saying, hey, it's like real estate, it's over. Like, that doesn't work. It's too general. It doesn't like, boom, punch through how did I say it in the beginning of this? Probably I said they have their perspective, right? What did I say? You had to punch through.
You did, like their worldview.
It doesn't break their worldview. It's not going to come in, oh, it's like real estate. Like, I get it. Like, I like that analogy.
Well, yeah, but in a way, sense. I feel like I own a house. I already have one. I'm not going to move.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what people think. They're like, I have a domain. I have a brand. I invested in it. I set it up the way I want.
When you say, hey, your $100 million of marketing is going to be made irrelevant next year, by the way, because this other company bought this and they're going to put money. It's a little different. Like, it's a little different. Like, okay, wow. Like, I better think about that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, goal position and imposition are pretty important.
Yeah.
And that,
okay, should we talk more about industry positioning?
Okay, so I mean that's really it. It's there's examples in every industry, right? So industry positioning also comes up to your, to how your domain strategies. Okay. So for instance, the domain strategies that we talk about, or what's your brand? I did a blog on this. So Tess, I don't know if we can link it down below again.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Some of the first links. So I did it on domain strategy. So there's the, like, owning your brand, owning a sub brand. If you have a sub, if you have multiple brands, like a P&G, for instance, they have, you know, multiple brands, right? Tide being one of them. They own P&G and they own Tide. Okay. Then yeah, there's marketing campaign domains, right? So how Teaspoon is owned by, I always get it wrong. They're in Minnesota. I don't know how I forget. It's like one of the biggest food companies.
That's okay. Kraft?
No. I was thinking 3M. No, it's General Mills. General Mills. So they're out, like, they own teaspoon.com, right? So babies are owned by J&J.com, right? Surveying.com is owned by one of the biggest surveying companies. Okay. So that's your marketing campaign domains. Look at Merrill Lynch. Merrill Lynch owns a ton of domain names regarding, like, Go Lynch, whatever, right? Those are marketing campaign domain names they use.
Yep.
Category defined domain names are marketing campaign domain names. So like an ERPsoftware.com, right? The retirementplan.com, like a stockphotos.com, contentmarketing.com. Those are marketing campaign / branded domains, right? They can go either way, but they allow for industry positioning. They allow you to dominate and control the conversation for that positioning. So I don't want to get stuck here on, hey, it's just owning your brand, how your brand comes in, because that's very important, right? How your brand plays among your competitors, because you will be judged in less than a second or 3 seconds or five, whatever. You're going to be judged. How does your brand stack up to other brands in the category? Is it fun? Is it relevant? Does it match the ethos of your brand? Is it trustworthy?
Yeah.
But also industry positioning, when you think about it, these category-defined domain names are very important because they also allow you to come in and dominate the conversation around that, like overnight.
Yeah, overnight.
I often say, when people come back to me, they say, oh, that's too expensive. So what's the lifetime value of one client? Lifetime? Do you know that? Okay, first of all, if you don't know that, you need to, right?
Yeah.
Because it's pretty important, like if you get them in your funnel, what's the lifetime value over time that client is worth? And so owning that category-defined domain name and being able to tell your salespeople, hey, if you want some more information, we're here, but we also have this other site, like whatever that category-defined domain is, right? Let's say it's ERP software, let's say it's stock, whatever it is, right? You can bring them back there. And that makes you look like a leader that builds trust, that you're able to dominate the conversation around that keyword because you own it.
Mm-hmm.
Industry positioning is how your brand is positioned. So that goes into the different domain strategies that you have, but how your brand is positioned in the marketplace.
Beautiful. Yeah. It makes sense. And it gives, I think, a new vocabulary here. And more important than just somebody's new vocabulary, I think it's their vocabulary. I think it's corporate America's vocabulary.
Yeah, yeah.
That you're right. We need to update from just it's real estate.
It's more. Yeah, it's more than that. It's. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Number three. So back up. Number one, global positioning. Number two, industry positioning. Number three.
Okay. Number three. We'll go through these a little faster because I'm like dying. It's like 100 degrees in my room here.
Why? Because, do you want to?
It's just where my room is located in my house. And I don't want to turn the fan on because it'll kill the audio. But okay, so the third one is branding. Okay, branding. Now, yes, branding is an industry position. Yes, it's globalizing, but it's how your employees talk about your brand. Like how they talk about you, right? It's how your customers talk about your brand. It's how your customers talk about you. It's the brand. It's like the ethos of how your brand interacts. It's the DNA of your company.
Yeah.
Very important. So when your domain name doesn't match your brand, it sends us messages of confusion, right? That, hey, we're not good enough to own our brand. You know, another company beat us to it. We have to settle for, you know, meet something, right? Or try something. So that's why if you go on to our blog, Try Dave, it was originally an interview done by Name Pros. I'm dyslexic. Okay. Thank you. James does a good job with his interviews, like awesome, read every one of them. And he, like Dave, I think they spent like $240,000, something like that. So once again, check the blog down below.
So it's one of the Dave.com, and they repositioned as Dave.com.
No. What they said is that we don't want to be known as Try Dave. Like, we're doing finances. We want to be known as Dave.com, not TryDave.com. You see? So it was important that they owned that positioning for their brand up front, right? So it wasn't, yes, it was global positioning. Yes, it was industry positioning, but it was branding. It's how their very customers want to talk about their brand. So there's this branding aspect to it, in that you don't realize it, but it hits the very, hits the DNA.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
how you talk about your brand.
And I mean, maybe I'm a special customer because, of domain background, but we have a host, Flywheel. I call them Flywheel, and every time I refer to them, and pretty much every time I need to go to their website, I type in flywheel.com, and then I go, oh my gosh, that's right, they don't own it. And then I go to getflywheel.com. But when you go to their website, their brand is Flywheel. I'm going to do a control F on their website for the word get. Down below,
okay.
They say,
crazy
fast load times. That's the only time the word get is in there besides in the domain name. So why is their domain get Flywheel? Why? And how many internal documents do they accidentally send to that? How many times? Send that to us at Fly. I mean, even if you say, thanks for contacting Flywheel. I didn't contact flywheel.com.
Ouch.
It's confusing.
I mean, it's
what you're saying here.
Well, here's what I say is there's not an elite brand that does not own their positioning online, right? Elite brand. When you look at the elite brands. Okay. And so this conversation is not to beat up on brands, right? I mean, we're not here to beat them up, but it's very real. It's like this confusion that you're creating if you don't, these first three, right? It impacts your marketing. That's number next one, but it's very real to the ethos, very real to your brand. It's very real. And that's why. So I think our next video we should do should be about the three market factors in domain names, right? And
okay.
How the market's shifting and changing. Cause that would be a cool next video.
I like it. All right. I'm writing it down. Okay.
If we get if people watch this one, right? So we gotta make it interesting. We gotta give some incentive. Like, listen, if we don't get more than 10 comments, I'm done. Like, I'm not coming back, right? Like, I want to hear some comments like, hey, good stuff. You stink, right? Horrible. You're wrong. Like, I mean, hey, good, bad, whatever. Comment. Like, let us know you're paying attention, right?
All right. Fair enough. Okay. So branding, I hear you. You're saying, it's hard to really to sell something, to back something when you don't own what you want, who you are, who you're saying you are.
Some of the best sales in history, domain sales, they're effortless. You show the guy the domain name and they buy it because these founders, these CEOs, they understand branding. They understand they're elite at creating brands. They get it. And a ring.com, listen, $1 million, done, right?
Yeah.
Because they understand now the impact of a great brand. They understand the impact of this. And so there's that segment of the population. These are the guys you want to broker, sell a domain to, because there's no explanation needed. It's like, do I have a use case for it? What's the price? All right, boom, done. Great.
Yeah.
There's
and say Mike Seiger interviewed ring.com. He interviewed the CEO and founder and said, why did you buy this? Years ago, and he had a different positioning and plan than, I mean, there are all these other doorbell sites out there, but guess which one Amazon bought, and it, part of that also, when you're approaching a larger corporation for a buyout, if you ever plan to do that, you're going to stand out when you're ring.com instead of, I can't even remember right now. Actually, I looked into buying.
It was doorbell something.
I can't even remember.
That's another great discussion, right? Sometimes the easiest people to sell to are not the big corporations. Like, you think, oh, they've got this big thing going. Because what happens is that you get siloed. You really have to have a laser focus on the correct contact point on a big company.
Yep. And sometimes they're we have a marketing budget. We have a whole ecosystem. But this, Sky Bell is the other one. And that's, I remember when these all came out and we were all talking about the different ones. But I mean, yeah, it's just a different level.
Yeah, branding is so important. And the next video we do on the three souls, we can get more into that because that one is going to be fun. Okay.
Okay. All right. So next.
This is a tease for our next video. Okay. So the next
one is really good at marketing, by the way.
No, hey, you know, it's like, there's no value. Like, we're not going to tell our secret, like, the secret sauce here.
Okay.
So the next one, what's that?
Yeah. I'm trying to help you in your 100 degrees.
Okay. Yeah. Oh. The next one is marketing. The fourth dimension is marketing. Like, marketing has a, how you market, how effective is your marketing for your domain name? Can you remember it, right?
Yeah, so what's your bang for your buck, I think, right?
The return on investment. Can they see that billboard? Can they easily remember it? What's the ROI from your domain name? Now that marketing, listen, all of these kind of go hand in hand, right? Marketing with branding, with industry positioning, yes. But that's why they're the seven dimensions, right? I didn't do two dimensions, right? I mean, it's like they all play in, and when they all come together perfectly, it creates like, it supercharges your brand to like this infinite, you know, like significantly more, right? Mm-hmm. So marketing, like, obvious, seems obvious, right? I mean, you're internet, digital, but how effective is your marketing? How effective is your brand, your domain name help your marketing? Now, this can go, once again, in several different ways, right? Depending upon the type of brand that you choose. So does it match consumer intent? And that's one of the things that we say is like, with a category defined domain name, the power is that it matches consumer intent. Like, consumers are looking for a product. The intent is there, that with maybe the description of your product, right? So let's say you are in the encryption space for emails.
Okay.
Listen, there's a lot of like really tough domain names and brands in that space, right? A couple of good ones, right? Like Barracuda Encryption, right? I mean, you're thinking, you know, Barracudas, yeah. I guess they have like really sharp teeth, right? But so it's like marketing. How well does it help your cause? How well does it match consumer intent? If it doesn't match consumer intent, like, how well is it easy to remember, right? So there's different facets of marketing that's not just, right? So that this is where your domain strategy and portfolio comes in. Like, some companies don't have, many of the companies don't have just one domain name, right? So ClickFunnels has clickfunnels.com, expertsecrets.com, right? Which is their book. That's marketing, right? You can easily find it. Now, it wasn't like getexpertsecrets.com. It was expertsecrets.com, right? Mm-hmm. He paid some money for that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Marketing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we go on, or is that good enough?
No, I think that's great, especially if you want another. You know, Chris, normally
we can do a whole show on marketing.
Down, new interviews. I'm loving you. You're like, hey, this is what we're doing for the next one. I'm like, sign me up.
Yeah, I mean, let's hope we don't run out of material. But yeah.
I don't think we're going to run out of material.
Oh, you know, we could hit each of these for one show. Really, I mean, marketing. We could go in depth into marketing with case studies and examples, and just talking like how a domain impacts marketing. How does like branding strategy, the, like we said earlier, right? The sub brand strategy, the marketing strategy, brand protection.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one is SEO. I did a blog on this, and so I think this needs to be highlighted because you have to read this blog. It's very in depth on how a domain impacts SEO. So, an interesting story. So when I first started, I remember Tess, like the first year, and I was brokering domain name, and I got with this executive in this big company in California, right? It was in the insurance space. And she's like, SEO is like, domain names are dead. SEO, you know, like there's no value.
And oh, like, they all say like Google made some update and now it doesn't matter if your keyword is in your domain. That, like, they all say that, right?
That's okay. Mark that down for another show. And that is algorithm changes. Oh. Seriously, we could do a whole show on algorithm changes.
Okay.
And the power of domain. So in this example of SEO,
well, like, actually, I have, I guess if we're teasing things, we can tease a lot. We have someone coming on. I don't know. I'm not going
to. Awesome.
I'll think about it.
I want to watch that because that's one area. Listen, I'm learning as much as people on Domain Sherpa, okay? I'm not, like, I've only been in this business for 3.5 years. I'm learning this.
Yeah.
Like, this is new for me. So, I mean, I'm excited about that interview.
Good. me too. Yeah, I mean, I guess I can say Rand Fishkin, founder of SEO software company Moz and co-founder of the online marketing community inbound.org.
Never heard of the guy.
Oh, don't say that.
I'm kidding. You're kidding me? He's like a legend. That's awesome. That's phenomenal.
I know. It's a big deal. So
yeah,
it's really exciting. That's not going to be for a little while. But I will make a note to ask him about that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Algorithm awesome. Changes. Check, check.
So let me finish this story, right? So you came back and I remember 3.5 years ago, like I didn't have much experience. Like I really didn't even know SEO, right?
And you worked super, super hard to get a hold of this lady.
Oh, who, yeah.
You know, yeah, to get her, yeah, yeah. to get in front of her. And she trusted and respected you enough to give her her time. But yeah. then she was like.
She crushed my frame. Just crushed it. Like crushed me. Like my frame and her frame, like boom, like all on top of me. And so that really led me to answer the question, why are domain names important for SEO? And that's why I did that blog, that in-depth blog. Now we have some of our clients are the best SEO experts out there. And I think after that blog, Andrew's like, oh, they said you're spot on, Chris. You're right there. Like
yeah.
you for SEO. But it's very important for domains impact your SEO. They impact how you get backlinks. They impact like if people even want to backlink to you, they impact the clarity that you bring.